Hello, hello, hello. I am your Gregory Gordet, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
hug. Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I am your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And, 42 almost killed me. As you all know, or if you didn't know out there, last week was my birthday. My best friend was in town from San Francisco. You may have heard him on this podcast before. And, you know, he was on vacation. I was not. But we were partying all week like I was 22, not 42. And I made it to the other side. Hello from the other side without sciatica. But shout out to you, Adele, and hope you're on the mend. And I've made it to the other side and it's good. I'm feeling good. I'm looking good. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. It was such a blessing to have so many great meals with so many great friends last week. That's all I wanted for my birthday. I didn't want anything major. I didn't want any major party or anything like that. Just really beautiful, intimate meals with the people closest to me. And that's what I got. So, yeah, it was really, really, really good. Shout out to people, to the folks at Longo Brothers here in the city, to Legacy Records, to Olio Epew. Where else did I go to eat dinner? And anywhere else that took very, very good care of us during my birthday. Break Bar. Do you know out there that there's a bar here in New York called Break Bar where you can have a drink and then once you finish the drink, you can throw a glass against the wall? It's the weirdest thing. Straight people, y'all. Straight people. All right. I need to get to the getting on because I'm really excited for today's guest. But before I do that, really important news. I'm taking myself to Thailand for my birthday, which means I leave this Thursday, as in tomorrow. So, folks, you're going to be without a podcast for a couple of weeks for the first time. For the first time in forever. I'm going to leave you alone. I tried to like pull it together, but you know, I like to keep it current. People weren't available and I didn't want to give you crappy content. So, and I need a break, y'all. I need a break and that's okay. That's okay to do. So I'm allowing myself that break, but I will be back at the end of January. New eps. I think it's going to be 2 weeks without an episode, but you'll miss me and then we'll be back at it. All right. All right. So without further ado, right, because I'm so excited for today's very, very joyous and beautiful guest. You probably already know who she is because she is really famous on the TikTok. So without further ado, please help me welcome the one, the only Thara Moyes. Say hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Chef. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I am so happy to have you and your beautiful energy here with me today to celebrate the week after my birthday and my departure from the Americas.
Yes. Happy belated.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I hope your trip goes well. Thailand is really fun.
I've never been, so you got to give me all the tips and tricks.
The food, eat as much as possible. Oh, the food is just so, so good.
Oh, yeah. I am ready. Like, you know what? I started this new year. I don't really do resolutions. I just like try to make better of myself. So I got back on the treadmill and I was going on the treadmill. And the minute my best friend landed, that was the end of the treadmill.
But, yeah, it's definitely hard to keep up with those resolutions. But Thailand is definitely the place to keep up with all the, especially the street food. The street food, just walk, just pick a street. I was in Phuket. Just walking down, there's so many good eats. So you're going to have a blast and forget, come back to the treadmill afterwards because.
Yeah. You know what? And dad bods are in, you know, so I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I love myself. I just would like my clothes to fit a little bit.
Yeah. I've been rocking the mom bod for years. So.
Yeah. So like, I'm good. I don't need abs. I've had them. Peace out, Cubs down. I don't need them. You know what I mean? Well, listen, before we get anywhere, I got to do what I got to do. And in the grand tradition of In Yo Mouth, I need to wish you Happy National Hot Toddy Day.
Oh, yes.
That's a cute one.
Hot toddy. It is a cute one.
Yeah.
Usually you don't see hot toddies too often.
You know what? They're making a comeback, I think, with the dawn of all these like bespoke cocktail bars that are everywhere now. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's happening out by you in like near the Poconos.
Yeah, no, not so much.
Right? But like I think in the big cities, like these little like, or can we even call them hipster anymore? But these little like really like craft.
Artisanal, they're going back to that word.
Artisanal, right? Cocktail bars. And no shade to all the mixologists out there. I appreciate a good cocktail. But like, I really feel like they're making a comeback. I actually, when I went to see my brother over Christmas, he dropped me off at the train station in Queens. And we usually have like a beer because he doesn't really drink. Like that's his limit is one. And when walked into this like Irish pub and there was a man having a hot toddy. Huh. I just remembered that. Yeah.
Hmm. That's nice. It's a perfect drink for this type of weather. So more people should be having it.
Yeah. And if you are visiting New York or live in New York City, I live around the block from the infamous top five oldest restaurants in the city, Sardi's, right? Big Broadway famous restaurant. If you go upstairs to the Actors Bar, all those bartenders there will make you all the classic cocktails, hot buttered rum, hot toddies, whatever you need, wherever you need it. I love this day. Well, you're in luck, Chef, because it's also happy. I need to wish you also Happy National Milk Day.
Milk. Okay. I did not know that at all.
I didn't make this up. These are legit.
How do we celebrate National Milk Day?
By taking lactose digestive and drinking milk alternatives.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because I'm not sure who's just like downing raw milk anymore. But I mean, I love cheese so much. So without milk, can't have cheese. So I guess we're celebrating cheese as well. Yeah, but there is a cheese day. I know there has to be a cheese day.
There's definitely a cheese day. And I think the milk people would be really mad that you're like kind of trying to step on their like holiday, you know? They you are like, you're an anti-milker.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm one of those people who will take almond milk in their coffee, but still put whipped cream on it. Like, why do I do that? I don't know.
Oh my God.
Whipped cream doesn't count. It doesn't.
Have you discovered the coconut whipped cream from Trader Joe's?
No.
Oh my God. No. The calories are like zilch and it's delicious.
Oh man. I don't even think I've ever been to Trader Joe's really. All right, I know I hate to say that because people are just like obsessed with that store for sure.
You know what? I'm not mad at you. Trader Joe's serves a very specific purpose.
Yeah. Is it groceries? Is it groceries or is it really like a very elevated snack shop?
I think it's both. I think you really can stretch a dollar there if you're smart. And for things like their version, their like coconut whipped cream or their like, I just catered out a party for someone, right? They just wanted help. I wasn't being paid. I mean, I was being paid, but it's a long story. Anyways, they needed some help. I helped them out and I was like, y'all, let me tell you something. I have catered waitered. Like the fanciest of parties, right? With the richest of people. I go, sure, some people want the caviar and the blinis, but you know what they really want? They want the quiche and the pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I have had some of the wealthiest people in the wealthiest of gowns right? chase me down for a pig in a blanket.
Oh, yes.
So Trader Joe's is really great for like those sort of things too. And their versions, because they're quiche, delicious, you know?
Okay. That gives me a incentive to go there.
Yeah, no, but so there's really, if you know what you're going to get, and like, it's really good. I'm a fan, but this is not a Trader Joe's podcast.
No.
We love to go down a side road. We love to take the long way around some of these national holidays. And let me tell you, no matter if you celebrate National Hot Toddy Day or National Milk Day, because apparently you and I can talk all day about that.
Yes.
We celebrate you. And moving right along into this day in gay history, Chef, did you know that in 1973, An American Family, a documentary series focusing on the Loud family of Santa Barbara, California, premieres on PBS? Not only does it presage the era of reality TV, son Lance Loud comes out publicly on the show, characterizing himself as homo of the year.
In 73?
73.
That's impressive.
Reality TV and gay people, right?
Wow.
PBS ran so the housewives could walk.
That is a good fact. I had no idea.
Right? Absolutely. I love that. Well, you know what? Shout out to PBS for doing the work.
But seriously.
I want to get to the getting on. And in your mouth, listeners, if you didn't know, but you probably already do, Thea Moise was born and raised in Haiti, and her Haitian heritage inspired a lifelong love affair with food that culminated in the creation of Manger with Moise LLC and subsequently Bored All the Time Charcuterie. Moise, who got her BA in international studies, has traveled all around the globe and visited every continent in pursuit of new flavor inspiration. Her palate is international, and she is passionate about learning the history and culture behind each cuisine she encounters. Every other year, she travels to Morocco to replenish her stock of authentic spices. She doesn't believe in taking shortcuts when it comes to flavor. Her specialties include fusion dishes, tagine cooking, Haitian cuisine, Cajun and Creole cuisine, and more. Moise's passions include supporting her fellow members of the LGBTQ community, hosting intimate dinner parties, and inventing brand new recipes using her favorite locally sourced ingredients. She is continually inspired by women around the world who cook each day to feed their families while still making delicious, incredible food. When she's not hosting cooking classes or serving up gourmet creations, you can catch her eating Castelvetrano. I can never say this word. Castelvetrano. Those good olives straight out of the jar and planning her next adventure. I can never say that word.
Yeah, I mean, I was proud of you for pronouncing charcuterie, so.
Right? Listen, I really almost said charcuterie because I love a charcuterie board, honey. I love it. And I'll say it a million more times as we go along on the pod. But first and foremost, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I'm so honored that you've given me of your time today. I want to start with, because I love your TikTok, and I actually found it through my lesbian food wife. Shout out to Chanley Borges of Gays Gotta Eat. She was like, have you discovered Chef Moise? I think she'd be amazing on the pod. So, and then I deep dove. Where does all the joy come from?
I've never been asked that. I think it comes from the fact that I really just genuinely love what I'm doing. Like, there's really no other reason besides this is really what I wanted to do. And I'm so happy I get to do it every day. And like, I never get bored of it or sick of it or annoyed or, and I like, I don't get burned out from it. You know, like running a business is hard, but the creation of food, you just never stops because you always get to eat it afterwards. So it's like dopamine hit after dopamine hit.
Amen. Amen. You know, I've been feeling the burnout lately because I was just talking about it without taking a break from the pod for a couple of weeks, right? Because I'm going away. And, you know, I have my day job and then I have, you know, keeping up with the Instagram and keeping up with the podcast. And, you know, like, oh my God, what was me?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
First world problems. But like, no, like that's a serious, like this never ending cycle of creating and creating.
Yeah,
and creating,
putting out, creating, putting out, yeah.
You know, and listen, your girl loves to put out, but everyone needs a break, yes. Okay? Do you think with creators like you who are so popular on the TikToks, the Instagrams, and wherever else, do you think that your success is because of like the joy you put out? Or like what is the key to that success?
I think the number one key to that success is the consistency. I think you can, if you are doing something and people see your joy, that's great. But can you exhibit that joy every single day, like even multiple times a day? Sometimes you can't. People will see you're disingenuous. But if you really love what you're doing, then it's not really work. I don't really have to fake that smile that I put out when I'm doing the creations that I do. So I think if you really genuinely love it, not just, oh, well, this makes me good money or this is going to make me popular, but like, no, this brings me so much joy. If there's not a camera in the room, I still would be this happy.
Amen. Amen. This is sometimes my problem with the phone and the social media is that, you know, a lot of people preach quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. And I have a really hard time putting something like dumb out. Like normally not, and I put a lot of dumb things out but the silly things I put out or the fun things I put out is because it's actually me wanting to do that and like I'm having the best time.
Right.
But we all know those creators out there who will just turn on the camera and like,
oh well, completion is better than perfection. That's real hard. If you're a perfectionist and you're like, oh well, this needs to be great. Trust me, mediocre but consistent will be better than one-hit wonders all day, every day. And that applies to pretty much anything in life.
So is that a positive?
Yes, I'm going to say it's a positive. It's a positive. Wait, because it's exhausting to be excellent every single day. It really is. And if you're a perfectionist, you need to be perfect. But, you know, getting it done is so much better than having it be perfect.
Interesting. That's you know what? I'm going to take that with
me. Yeah, put it in your pocket.
And put that in my pocket, honey. You know? I'm going to put that, you know, just in my bra strap. Because, right? You know, you could look at that. You could look at that sideways, too. You know what? Like, in the sense of, well, if I'm just completing it, then it's just like, well, what's the point, you know?
The point is that there's not that many people even attempting it. So the fact that you completed it is very big.
True. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Come through January inspiration.
Yes.
Week two.
Yes. Get them 2023 goals.
Oh my God. 2023.
Right? I did just say 2023. Isn't it crazy to say? Yeah.
It really, really is.
I was on TikTok. They said 1993 was officially 30 years ago. I said, don't you mean 20 years ago? Why are y'all lying? There's no way it was 30 years ago. Like, what?
It sure as hell was. It sure as hell is. I was there, right? You know, watching the Jetsons. The Jetsons.
What? You're not 30. Time. What are you talking about?
I'm 42. I just turned 42. Nary a wrinkle to be found.
Not at all.
Oh my goodness. Where does the love of cooking come from?
So for a while I was a vegan.
Okay.
And as a Haitian person turning vegan, there was literally nothing I could eat.
Nope. Tell you right now.
Nothing I could eat.
Nothing. All the fish. All the goat.
All the pork. All the rice has some kind of meat in it. The pasta dishes. Unless it was specifically salad, it was going to have some kind of meat in it. So being a vegan vegetarian, I was like, okay, I still want to eat delicious, flavorful, you know, dynamic food like I'm used to, but I just can't do the meat. So I really just started learning everything I possibly could to make my food delicious as a vegan vegetarian. And then I just started to discover, like, cooking is not just sustaining, like, oh, you need to eat, you need to cook. No, there's a whole creation to it. And I just fell in love with the fact that, like, my food was never boring and I had to go the extra mile to make it delicious because it was going to be vegan and it was never going to be a salad. You're not going to catch me eating a salad. So I needed to make sure it was delicious. And that's really what started it. Like, you know, just making sure that everything that I wanted to do had the flavor profile I wanted. And then I started realizing that a lot of people didn't care about flavor as much as I did. I think I care so much about flavor and so much about the different notes of flavor. So yeah, that really kind of just sparked me, like, no, I'm going to do this now. Like, this is what I do now.
and you stopped being vegan vegetarian?
Yeah. So it turns out, because, you know, good old therapy, I was a vegan because of orthorexia. Like, I totally was never even into, like, the sustainability of being vegan. It was totally orthorexia.
Orthorexia is an unhealthy focus on eating in a healthy way. Eating nutritious food is good, but if you have orthorexia, you obsess about it to a degree that can damage your overall well-being. I just learned something today.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people just, it's very easy to kind of say, oh, well, they're healthy, so I'm not going to think that it's an eating disorder. But the obsession can be very detrimental to your health. And I had it for 7 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh, oh, right? My goodness. I didn't even know. I literally didn't even know until, like, I really got into therapy, really started becoming like, who are you if you do not eat this way? And I was just like, wait, what? So, yeah, it's not, I mean, eating healthy is important. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely important. But the obsession, the OCD, the depression that comes from not doing it, it's not healthy. It's not healthy.
Yeah. You just brought me to, like, we are on a carpet, yeah. Girl, and I'm and you're singing a new world, right? Yeah. I am your princess Jasmine,
yes,
honey.
Yes, let's go. Yeah.
Incredible. You said Haitian vegan, and there was none out there. And I remember there, was it during the pandemic, even though we're still kind of there, that, like, this Haitian vegan restaurant in New York, like, really blew up.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought it was, I don't remember. I'm looking right now, and there's a one that comes up on top, La Cou Cafe. But I can't,
La Cou Cafe, okay, cool.
I don't know if that was it, you know, because you can pay to be on top of
Google. Yeah, Google, for sure. I didn't realize that they were a vegan spot.
Yes, it was like this big news story, and the line was like around the block.
Nice. Because Haitian food is delicious. It's just, yeah. it's not just mm-hmm. vegan. It's a whole other thing, though.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I love this. I want to talk to you all day. I'm upset. Listen, before we cut out to the break, I need to ask you, because it's important, as we never know who is listening and who we can affect, about coming out.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing your coming out story with us.
Oh, well, grab a tissue box, because it's... Yes. So coming out was, like, so hard. Like, tragic, honestly. It was honestly pretty tragic. Like, I should probably write a novel about it. But I grew up in, like, an intensely, like, abusive, homophobic environment. Like, before I even came out, that was the groundworks of, like, this is pretty much the worst possible thing you can do. Like, it is next to all other crimes that people go to jail for life for. Like, that's how it's brought up. And doing that pretty much meant you were not worthy of, like, love, respect, or any accolades. So that was just like all of my, like, adolescence, preteen, and teenage years, right? And then later on in my teenage years, I had already know, like, I knew what I wanted. I was very secure. I had already, like, kind of done things, and I just felt like, okay, I want to come out. I want, like, this is what I want. I want the world to know that. And I think I might have been in my teenage years, and I, like, did a soft coming out, and I told very little people, but it was just kind of like, I'm not sure if I want something, but this is kind of what I think I'm going towards. And I was met with just like, well, if you do this, you will be abandoned. You will not be taken care of. You will not be sustained. You know, the whole works. And it just scared me to becoming a complete, like, just completely just shut me inside. And then when I was around 17, 17, 18, I came out to some friends and also a female partner that I was with. And it was, I felt very happy about that, but I kept it a secret for years and years and years and years. And it wasn't until I was, I think 20 or 21. I think I was just stupidly making social posts about it at this point because I had already been in college. Most of my friends were very accepting. And most of the world I had realized was actually didn't hate me and didn't want to abandon me. Actually, most of the world didn't care. Actually, the only person that seemed to care was my family environment. And I was always confused as to where this hatred came from. So I would just started putting it on my social media. I started just living my life and doing a break from college. I went back to, you know, my parents, as most college kids do. And my mother had heard a rumor about me that I had had a girlfriend and I had been kissing her in public or something. It was something that some PDA I was doing with my girlfriend in public. And she just like barges into my room and she's like, say it's not so, say it isn't so. Like I heard this and third. And I was just like, oh, you know what? We're doing this. Yes, it is so. That's the case. And this is the woman that I've been with pretty much for like a really long time. Like I've been feeling this way for a long time. Like I was doing everything to explain it, to explain myself out of it. Like I'm sorry that I feel this way, like just ashamed and just automatically. But then I kind of felt like I'm older now. Like, what are you going to do? But that wasn't the end of it. It ended up becoming pretty much the worst week of my life. And I'm not going to go into too much details, but she pretty much, my mother decided to stage an intervention where she got everyone she possibly could and like got me and like held me against my will and tried to get everybody to like give me their opinion as to why I need to not be gay or need to not be homosexual. And the opinions were all over the place. The opinions were all the way from, you know, religious, you're never going to be able to have kids, it's not the right way, all the way to, well, you can do it, can you just keep it a secret but still marry a man, all the way to society's not going to respect you, you're already black, how can you add homosexuality to it, all of it, all of the works, all of the, you're terrible, every single possible thing. And each one of them shared their opinion, and each one of them was like, this is just like the worst thing you've ever done, this is the worst thing anybody has ever done. And I remember, and this was obviously like 10 years ago now, but I remember the pain that I felt because at this point, so much of the world had already known that I was out. I'm talking about all of my college, all of my friends. I had already started traveling the world and people knowing. I had already had very intimate relationships with women. At this point, I was receiving no hatred from the world because of this. But as soon as I came back home, I received so much hatred. I just was like, you know what? No, like you, there's no way that I can have experienced this much level of freedom. And now I'm coming back and you guys are like, no, back in the box you go, back, you were back to being, you know, repressed, back to feeling hatred, back to feeling shame, back to comparing you to the worst acts that a human can possibly do, you know? And I just remember feeling so entirely detached from them because it was the first time, even though I was like crying, hysterical, the cops were called. It was so horrible. I remember just thinking, I've never felt this hatred from anywhere else in the world. I think at this point I had lived in India, which is like so intensely, you know, has so many different social political situations. But at this point I had lived so many places around the world that I've never felt so much hatred than my own flesh and blood. And I said,
so what was the key to coming through?
Oh, complete detachment and just knowing that I've never known one of them to have a very happy, sustainable relationship that they were proud of. And I no longer, from that moment, I just decided that shame was not going to be in my vocabulary. Like, shame was not going to be a thing that I felt, because the only time I ever felt it was with these people. Yeah. And I just don't have to do it anymore. Like, I don't have to do that anymore. And I didn't. And completely detached from them and moved to New Zealand. Yeah. Wow. That was a little bit manic. I agree. It was a little manic.
New Zealand is gorgeous.
It was beautiful. I had a great time. And I was there with my wife and was living my life.
First and foremost, I need to thank you for opening up and being so vulnerable with me and like letting me not only deciding to tell that story, but letting me hold it for you.
Thank you for giving me the space.
It's very, very honored. Secondly, you know, over the holidays we were and whatnot, I try to do the best of all work or the best of what I can do in giving back. And, you know, we were talking a lot about teenage homelessness and LGBTQ youth just being like out on the street because of situations much like yours, right? Through the Ali Forney Center and the work I was doing with them. And so it's really important to hear these stories, you know, and we don't qualify coming out stories here on the pod as good or bad. It's like your experience and it's your story and it's yours to tell for sure. And yeah, it's also really beautiful to see the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? The whatever you want to call it, the it gets better, the whatever, because look at you now. Look at you shine now. Look at you. If you just, I don't know you, and just breezing through your TikTok, I'm like, oh, I love this person. I know exactly who this person is, you know? Like, okay, you know? So it's really wonderful to see the joy that you've encompassed after coming out of all of this.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So many, since I've started my TikTok too, so many young Haitians and Haitian Americans have messaged me. I don't know, I guess maybe secretly, but they've messaged me saying like, you know, I'm not comfortable coming out. I'm not comfortable exhibiting myself. I'm not comfortable. And some of them are like in their 30s and 40s. You know, they're like, I'm just not comfortable letting my Haitian culture, the Haitian community know that this is who I am. But when I see you, I feel that much closer to maybe doing that. And, you know, I don't always answer all of them, but when I do, the number one thing I say is, for one, you don't have to profess your sexuality to anybody, even if you are or if you're not. You do not have to just profess that and confess that and give everyone, you know, that part of you. You do not have to, especially if it's going to come to at the issue of your safety or your mental health. Not everyone has to know that part of you. But at the same time, you have to live your truth. Just not everyone has to see that. Mm-hmm. And I know that might come across as maybe leaving secretly or whatever you need to do, but your safety is important. And I know I wasn't always safe. I waited until I was well into, I had a job. I was not dependent, you know, so much, versus in my teenage years, if I had come out, I really don't know that I would have been supported through college or been supported through the upbringing of turning into an adult. I think I don't know if I would have had their support. So I had to be very secretive.
Yeah. It's also important, I think, that just because a culture that you come from isn't necessarily accepting, it's not the culture.
The people. It's the people. Yeah, that's a fantastic point.
Right? Because, I mean, I do these This Day in Gay Histories all the time. Like, we've been here.
Yeah.
I mean, I have deep dove, like, more than decades ago, like centuries ago, into history of us being here.
Yeah.
You know? Michael Twitty was on the podcast now years ago, but like gave us all the history about us being here. Being here, being there, being everywhere. So, you know, it's important to hear. And I love that. I want to leave that right there. And I think you and I need to take a break, go pour a little bit of a cocktail. Or no, wait. I feel like we should be doing dry January. All right. So we're going to pour ourselves a mocktail in support of all you out there doing dry January. And we're going to be back with my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Chef, I hope you're ready for my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast. A little something we like to call Food News Update.
Food News. Ooh, honey, you ain't ready.
Girl, spill the tea.
Someone just broke the record for eating at the most Michelin-starred restaurants in one day.
One day? Oh, how much did that cost them?
Oh, good question. Can you guess how many restaurants they ate at first?
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you have to think Michelin-starred restaurants.
So, I'm going to say 9.
Well, the answer is 18.
18? Oh, my gosh.
Yep, 18. So Eric Finkelstein, or maybe Finkelstein, as he just set a new Guinness World Record for eating at the most Michelin-starred restaurants during a 24-hour period, 18 in a single day.
Wow, where was this?
In New York City.
Wow, well, of course, that's where you have the most Michelin restaurants, because where else would you have that many?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How much was that? Like,
Finkelstein spent several months reaching out to over 80 Michelin-starred restaurants scattered throughout New York City's five boroughs to stack as many reservations as possible in a single day. He only heard back from 10 of them, and by the time he had made reservations, four of them were no longer eligible after losing their Michelin stars. That led to another flurry of calls and emails, and he eventually put together an 18-restaurant itinerary on his day of eating, October 26, 2022.
That is crazy.
He spent something like $494 and ate around 5,000 calories.
Wait, only $400?
$494 on the day, not including tax or the 30% tips he left for at each location.
For one day? Wow.
$500
wow.
for a day.
Wow. I mean, that's not that bad, actually, because I've definitely spent that at like one restaurant, at one meal.
Yes. One restaurant. So you're eating at
Michelin
18.
At that.
So he started at Aquavit with a 4-ounce bowl of Lincoln berries for $15. Wow, $15. Then he went to Batard for beef tartare and garlic toast for $28. Delicious. Casa Mono for flake crudo with spicy cucumbers and calamansi. Also delicious. $21. Caviar Russe for 1 teaspoon of Pacific sturgeon caviar with creme fraiche and bellini. $25. He went to Cote for 4 ounces of filet mignon with scallion and carrot side slaw for $34. Francie for duck mortadella atop brioche with pistachio mustard. $15. Gramercy's Tavern for duck liver mousse with pickled vegetables and plum accompaniment. $21. Young Sick for octopus with gochujang aioli. $30. Also sounds so good. Le Cucu for yellowfin tuna a la Portuguese, $26. Le Pavillon, grilled avocado, with einkornberries and charred kale for $36. Momofuku Ko for cold fried chicken drumstick for $7. How do you cold fry something? That's a question. The modern Prince of Edward Island oysters with kumquat mignonette and charred lime for $26. The Musket Room for more caviar service with creme fraiche, egg confit, and milk bread. Noda for chawanmushi with uni and caviar for $30. Oishi Mi for beef tartare and toasted brioche. You had a lot of beef.
Oh my goodness, you had a lot of weird things.
Yes, red paper clip for everything brioche topped with cured trout, salmon caviar, and miso yolk. Tuome for grilled scallops with grapefruit calamansi and chrysanthemums for $26. And lastly, ended at Vestry for smoked trout with butternut squash and maple for $14.
Wow. Those prices are honestly surprising. They're not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of
appetizers, it seems. Starters.
Yeah, well, he had to get it done, he had to go for, like, the smallest dish.
And had to go pretty
even
pretty fast. Yeah.
Yes, and quickest foods. Like, I'm sure he, like, put it out to restaurant.
I wonder if he even enjoyed it, like, you know? Like, by the time you're at, like, the 16th restaurant, are you just, like, trying to break the record? Are you even enjoying the courses at this point?
I don't know. I feel like I'd love to go on this journey.
You wouldn't be exhausted?
Only because... yes, I mean, but, like, listen, if I could do a week out of, like, eating and drinking till 3 a.m. For my birthday, I mean, this is fine.
So. 18
places in one day. I got this. Plus, I just love this type of food so much that these little, like, happy bites.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially, I didn't even know there was a Guinness... record holding for that. You know, I didn't even...
Oh my God, there's a Guinness record holding for and everything. If you could think of it, there's a record holding. I was part of the most Subway sandwiches eaten.
What?
In like X amount of time. Yeah, I've been part of what, two or three of them, and I can't remember what they are. I got paid.
Interesting.
I remember the one I got paid for. And it was by Subway for the most
eaten
Subway
by
sandwiches.
One person?
No, by like an entire group of people.
Wow, I didn't even think about that as a competition. That's crazy.
Or the most Subway sandwiches made.
Still, it's a lot of sandwiches.
But the coin.
I bet.
we're here for it.
We're absolutely here for it.
Yeah, we're here for it. You know what? And you know what? Not everybody can afford to eat at
no, but $500 for that. He's been planning for months. So he didn't even spend... I was honestly thinking he was going to spend like $3,000.
Yeah. Truth. But I mean, for like, if you really just wanted to go to a Michelin star restaurant for a taste of
something...
Yeah,
it's pretty cute. Like, and the reservations, you had to make them... The planning it takes just to even get the book on, you know, on the books is crazy. So yeah, we're definitely here for
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you could pop in and just sit at the bar for a $28 caviar.
Yeah. You know?
Firefighters were up to their knees in melted butter following a dairy factory fire.
What?
That's hard to say.
Dairy factory fire. That is a tough one. Wait, but melted butter is so hot.
I know. First and foremost, I just want to start with no injuries were reported and the blaze is out. And thankfully, everybody who's there got out in time and everybody's safe. So... You know, and we are happy for that. And shout out to our, you know, our service, our fire service people out there who are
unsung heroes, really.
Amen. But apparently, a blaze broke out at Associated Milk Producers, Inc. in the tiny town of Portage, Wisconsin, causing a slow but steady stream of melted butter to flow straight into a nearby canal.
That's not funny. Not the canal.
You know, my ass would have been out there, right? With some good brioche.
That's hilarious, honestly. Actually, no, that's not funny. Not the canal. That's terrible. But like melted butter, fire, that seems unreal. How do you even clean that up?
Well, again.
How do you even clean that up?
It's an entire not funny disaster that's kind of funny, right? And And again, it's only funny because everybody is safe.
Yes.
Nobody got hurt.
Thank goodness. But how slippery are things going to be after?
Oh. So the fire started in a room where butter was being stored. And as it was heated, it began to flow throughout the structure. The butter runoff and heavy smoke allowed slowed access to the structure. After multiple hours with many crews, the fire was contained and extinguished before it could spread. Great. But the sheer volume of melted butter flowing through the building proved to be one of the biggest challenges. When we first tried to go up the stairs to that part that collapsed, this stuff, the butter was running down like 3 inches thick on the step.
Oh, get the popcorn.
So the guys were up to their knees trying to go up the steps to get atop. As they're trying to drag the hose line got so full of butter, they couldn't hang on to it anymore. This could have been crazy dangerous, you know?
3 inches of melted butter.
You know, I wonder if, I guess it would have caused more smoke if, like, they went to, like, the local grocery store and started to throw, like, popcorn kernels on it to soak it up, you know? To soak it up.
3 inches on the stairs. How did they even manage to go up the stairs at all? Like,
or like bread, like, you know, take soaking bread. Would soaking bread burn? Like, this is why this is funny, because it's like funny, like hot, like hee hee, not funny, ha.
Not to mention, how do you even get butter out of the drywall?
I don't know. Like, how do you get butter out of the sewage canals? Because talk about a fat
bird. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, see, it's a whole plumbing situation now. It's a whole ecosystem situation.
Yeah. A delicious ecosystem situation.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, it was butter candles were trending on TikTok.
Yeah, they were. They were a terrible idea.
You know what? Right? I don't know. We are not here for this, but we are here for everyone being safe and for our fire members out there. And last but not least, this adorable California town will pay you to eat there all month long. Oh my God. Wait till you hear about this.
Wait, they'll pay you to eat there all month long?
Yes, on January 2nd, the city of San Luis Obispo and the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce launched its Eat Local Business Program, which rewards diners for visiting locally owned restaurants, cafes, breweries, and coffee shops. Anyone who spends $100 on food and beverages at those local spots can submit their receipts to receive a $25 gift card that can be redeemed at another local business.
Oh,
isn't that cool?
That is so cute. I love that.
If I live there, I'd be
the
receipts.
All the time.
Be one of the Atlanta housewives with a binder. You know, of
receipts. And also small businesses, like, they're making a come up again. Like, supporting small businesses and small town things like that. That's super cute. And you would have probably already spent $100. Is not even that much that they're asking for.
No,
you know, to spend on
you go out to a nice dinner, bing bang boom, there's $100.
Oh, it's really 75 because you can use it to $25 elsewhere. I love that.
Yeah,
that's super cute.
And if you don't need the money, you know, leave a little bit more in tip, and then
there we go. Yep,
isn't that fantastic?
I love the idea of that.
I love the good vibes of this. You know, both permanent residents and temporary visitors are eligible for the Eat Local Business Program, which runs through the end of January or until funds are exhausted. Multiple receipts may be submitted to reach the $100 total, and individuals can collect up to 3 $25 gift cards before the promotion ends.
Wow. That's so cute.
I just love this. This was so feel good, you know. A shout out to Food and Wine, who are not a sponsor, but they keep me in the know with all my food news. And I think that's the perfect way to end Food News Update.
I love that.
You know, feel good food news is what I guess it was about today. And butter.
I'm going to keep thinking about that butter situation.
You know,
I'm going to need an update. I'm going to need a cleanup update because that really is too much.
Well, you know what? I'm sure the Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, AMPI plant, has a newsletter that you could subscribe to if you looked hard enough, you know? So that one, put that on your New Year's resolution.
Yes,
list
figure
to
out
read
the,
that.
The update on that.
Oh my goodness. What's next for you?
So right now I really want to focus on the charcuterie store that I have opening up in Quakertown. The soft opening is February 5th. I know I'm encouraging everybody to RSVP. But I just really want to focus on that and really try to get other vendors to amplify their social medias. Like I want to help other vendors. Oh, fantastic question. So for one, I was really struggling with teaching other people how to cook because I'm self-taught myself. So many of my skills were intuitive. So it was really difficult for me to transfer that to other people. But charcuterie wasn't really cooking. So teaching people how to make them and how to make that was really easy and really fun. Secondly, there's no cooking involved. There's no actual cooking. It's really just a lot of food preparation, which is just awesome. It's also super cute, and I don't see a lot of people of color doing it. And I love the fact that I'm a person of color doing it and doing it really, really well. I'm getting known for that. And I think lastly is that it really feeds our inner child as millennials. Like if you have ADHD or you're neurospicy, like I can't think of a more fun thing to eat than a whole bunch of random shit on a board. Like that is the epitome of like our snack time, and I'm here for it.
Neurospicy.
Neurospicy.
I am going to take that. I need a t-shirt that says neurospicy.
Yes.
Right. And Lord knows I love me some charcuterie. I love it. It's my favorite. Well, that's fabulous. What made you think of it?
So before, I wanted to, do kind of like a French, cuisine. Like that's where I thought I wanted my food to kind of go. And one of the major parts of French cuisine is the charcuterie experience. And as like the trendiness kind of went on, you know, and more people started eating it, we really just started to realize that, you know, it's not just a cured meat, which is actually what real charcuterie is, but all of the fun cheeses and all the fun snacks that go along with it. I just kind of felt like this was a really good, portion of the course that can fill people up. And then I can kind of, you know, keep them distracted. Like I can, while they're eating that, like, especially when you're cooking a personal chef, you start giving people food. And if you don't have something for them to snack on right away, they're like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? They're like, oh, they're all over the place. So giving them this little distraction, it's perfect. But French usually do it at the end of the meal. And I was like, well, I'm going to be different. Of course, I'm going to do it at the beginning of the meal so that these clients can be out of my hair and they can just, you know, sit there and salivate over cheese and meats while I'm actually doing the cooking. And it's just such a great practice because they really are sustained by it. For like an hour, they can just sit there and eat cheese and crackers and not bother me while I'm making a wonderful dinner for them. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I also feel like if you have a very well mapped out board, that it gives people the sense that they're actually creating, you know, or quote unquote cooking in the sense of like, you know, ooh, what does this cheese?
Yeah, with the combination. Like yeah.
Like they're
and
like,
they love that.
The more you have, yes, like, oh, there's a spicy honey with this.
Yeah.
I've never had that. Oh, I'm being so adventurous.
Yes. The amount of people who've never had fig jam is honestly a shame. It's honestly it's a shame. Like fig jam
or
should be
yes.
Yes, like these things are should be staples. They should be our ketchup, you know?
So I love that. I absolutely, they should be our ketchup. I don't really like ketchup.
No, but you know it's everywhere.
It sure as hell is. Well, That's amazing. I love that. Well, I wanted to thank you so much again for being here and, you know, again, giving me of your time. What a special, special day this was with you. And I'm happy that you're part of my big gay food village now.
Yes,
I love it. Give the kids all the handles, where they can find you, where they can find the charcuterie, all of it, please.
Okay, so you can, my website is mangerwithmoyeseLLC.com. You can just put me in Google. It's everywhere. And all of my social medias is at Chef Moyese, M-O-I-S-E. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram, especially on TikTok. Please go follow me on there. And my charcuterie store board all the time is in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And you can email me at chefservices@mangermoyese.com. And you can rent the space and have a charcuterie experience. And I can also travel to you and we can have a wonderful charcuterie experience. I service Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, and Delaware.
I love that. Oh, she's a traveling chef.
Oh, yes, we are all here.
It's like vaudeville, honey. She comes with the show in the back of the truck. Oh, my goodness. Big shout out to Chef Moyese again. I love that. I'm going to link out all those things in the liner notes. In your mouth, listeners, what are you going to do without me for 2 weeks? I mean, life will go on. It will.
Right? Rewatch old episodes.
You could. I'm telling you, I'm not bringing this darn computer with me.
No, you just, not at all.
I'm not even going to upload old episodes just to fill in the time.
Do you know where you're going? You're going to Phi Phi Island?
I'm going to Bangkok, then Phuket.
Yes. Phuket, I think personally Phuket is better. It's more small town. It's not as like crazy and big and all that stuff going on. They're both wonderful, but Phuket is just a little bit more Thailand-y instead of touristy.
I love that. Yeah. And, you know, I've had friends say that it's a town that was like made for backpackers because all these.
So many. Oh my God. Absolutely.
So they said like people are changing their reservations last minute all the time. So they were like, we wouldn't be surprised if you want to spend more time in Phuket or whatnot. So whatever. It is a blessing and it was a gift for myself for my birthday. So
that is so fantastic.
It's what we're doing. And my gift to the audience is you then, Chef Moyese, right?
So sweet.
Because you're the last one before the vacation. So I love that. Take care of yourselves. If you want to follow my Thailand adventures, you know where to find me at The Kitchen Gaily. That it'll be all on my main, right? And that's linked out at In Your Mouth Pod on the Instagrams. I usually forget about TikTok because I just forget because I'm old, I guess. And
don't forget.
Other than that, stay safe out there. Be kind to yourself. If you mess up on the resolutions, just start again. You can always start again.
I love that.
And with that, all I have to say is thank you for listening to In Your Mouth.
In Your Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.